listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is almost 8 o'clock, not quite 8 o'clock yet, so we won't be starting with Off the Hook before this recorded announcement.
On April 25th, a 17-year-old black youth was stabbed to death in an Ohio adult prison by members of white supremacists. At the Westchester County Jail, a young girl hung herself with a bedsheet in her prison cell. I believe we can be a society that does not incarcerate children. There are alternatives. Call your senator in Albany. Ask them to vote no to the governor's budget bill that calls to transfer juveniles into adult prisons. This is a public service announcement for the Fortune Society by WBAI 99.5 FM.
And now it's just about 8 o'clock, time for Off the Hook. Good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein with you this fine Tuesday night. Let's start off with some folk music.
I got four friends and my man, dear Keisha. We always fun love.
music from the Fun-Loving Criminals. The title track from their CD, Come Find Yourself. You know, you don't hear that. They have a video out, but you don't see it on MTV. You know, you see it on that other Much Music thing from Canada because I guess they're not as corporate or something. But it's a really cool video if you ever manage to somehow catch it for a different song, actually. But they're right from New York, actually. Some local people, Fun-Loving Criminals. They do like the FLC thing, the subway thing. So I think that's kind of cool. Anyway, the program is off the hook. We're a bunch of fun-loving criminals here, as I guess the feds like to describe us. And we have some special features tonight, including something which came from a Milwaukee paper, sort of, a change in tone from our usual serious nature of the program. This is kind of a happy story. The title of the article, which comes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I guess they merged a couple of papers back then, Salesman Has a Code in His Head. Yes. Salesman Has a Code in His Head. That's a great title. If you want to know the area codes for Escanaba, Michigan, Altoona, Pennsylvania, or Waxahachie, Texas, you could call information. Or you could call Mike Juhas. Escanaba 906, Altoona 814, and Waxahachie 214. Juhas knows it's strange and admits it's not a real hobby, but all the same, he can't help knowing area codes. I'm on the phone a lot, he said, shrugging. A series of sales jobs, including his current post at Comback Publishing in Brookfield, has encouraged his kinship with phones. But that unplanned kinship has its roots in his college days in Stony Brook, New York, which, by the way, is area code 516. Juhas had a radio show with a friend, and for fun, they used to pick up information operators in places like Rio and Budapest. We always looked for Oscar's all-night kosher deli. We never found one, Juhas said. In the early 80s, the call to an overseas operator was free, and the opening line sometimes led to a cultural exchange or new knowledge. They discovered that asking the operator to connect them to area code 706 would get them into Mexico without dialing the country code, and that you couldn't call Albania from the United States. These days, 706 will get you Atlanta's suburbs, which is not part of Mexico. Juhas still does a radio show at WYMS FM, which is 88.9 for you Milwaukee listeners, but it's folk music, not overseas calls. After college and somewhere between sales jobs, all those area codes he dialed started to stick. The code trivia became a game. And then finally, a mania. And he can't stop talking area codes. That's after college and all that kind of thing. West Nevada asked his stepdaughter, 702 for the whole state, he said. Well, we happen to have on the phone with us right now, live from the Milwaukee area, Mike Juhas. Mike, is that you breathing into the phone there?
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah.
Okay. It's quite a story here.
Yeah.
Quite a story.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting that you have your roots here in New York as well, and that you transplanted yourself out to Milwaukee.
And I have to tell you, it's quite an honor to be on WBAI New York. There, I said a legal ID. How about that?
That's right. You're certainly a radio person. Now, I was told, and I'd like you to confirm this, because I have no memory beyond 2 weeks ago, that the person that you used to do this radio show back in the early 80s, where you called up things like Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli all around the world, but that person was actually me. Is that
true? It was you.
It was me.
It was you.
I had no way of verifying that. I had no way of verifying, because I checked my records, and my records don't go back all that far, and, you know, I'm always on the run somewhere trying to start a new life in a different town.
Well, that's because you're a fun-loving criminal.
That's what I am, yes. So, now, could you tell us something about that radio show and the kinds of things that we would used to do there?
Well, what do we call it? We called it various things at various times, but one of the titles of the show was the Voice of Long Island, and among other things, you know, we played lots of reggae music and dub style, and we had the Adventures of the Tripod Family,
uh-huh.
And we had, other filler.
That went over very well in Australia, I understand.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, that's what I heard.
I never did get any royalties or anything out of this.
No, we always get the short end of the stick and non-commercial radio.
We'd better talk to our producers about that. But we also, this was all, that blather was nothing but filler for the times when we picked up the phone and called, as that article said, we called information looking for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
Now, I have a tape that you've supplied me, I think, Or you have a tape, which I'm about to play. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I believe on this tape, contrary to the newspaper reports, you know, the newspapers, they always get the story wrong. Newspapers said that we never found Oscar's all-night kosher deli, but this is a phone call where we actually did find it.
Uh-oh.
Well, we sort of found it anyway. We were looking in the Western African nation of Namibia. Do you remember that call?
No. Okay. When was that?
This was back in
1980, 81?
This runs about 10 minutes. It was back in 1982.
82?
I believe we actually scored some points there, and we talked to information operators all around the world, make all kinds of funny rings, and get all kinds of people upset at us in all different languages. So let's take a trip back and hear that. And you're hearing this tape from the past live on Off the Hook, WBAI in New York. And our tape machine doesn't work. Okay, I'm gonna reach over and hit the manual button and see what happens. There we go.
What's the name of the city in Namibia we're looking for?
I don't know. I forget offhand. I mean, I feel like a fool asking for Oscar's all night kosher deli in Namibia. I just realized how silly I seem.
What's that, Louis?
Vindhoek.
Vindhoek?
Yeah.
Isn't that Switzerland or Finland or something? It sounds like a Norsky type name.
Yeah.
Originally a German colony.
Uh-huh. Oh. Windhoek?
Yep.
Huh. So they would have delis there if there's a German colony.
Sure.
And do they have kosher delis? That's a good question. That's a good question. But we know when we find this Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli somewhere in the world, it will have the answer.
Okay, sir, what is the name of the city?
It's in the capital.
It's called what?
It's in the capital. I'm not certain of the name. Vindhoek, I think.
With a W.
Hey, British rings.
Are you jolly?
Well, it's because it was a German colony, right?
I suppose.
Something like that. That's a nice ring. Good clear signal over to Namibia.
Yeah.
Coming up after this call, we have part one of the amazing adventures of Hollow Man.
Holo Man,
as in hologram. Birth of a hero. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Looks like they're out to lunch or something.
And Monkey's Funky, too, I understand.
Yes, we do have one of those Cole Sack Theater productions.
Well, that's great.
It certainly is.
I wonder what time it is over there now.
I don't know, but why don't we just
early morning. Ah, see?
Nurse information? Yes, this is the United States. I need information for Namibia.
For Namibia?
Namibia.
Namibia, actually.
Namibia.
Now, that you make at the Atlantic Exchange, not the Cape Town.
It's the what exchange?
Atlantic Exchange. Ask the operator for code 11 for Vintuk operator.
Well, what is the number for your code 11 operator?
Uh-oh, she hung up. We just heard an operator hanging up on another operator. Something that's pretty rare.
Well, why don't you tell her that you're still there?
Well, she knows I'm still here.
How does she know?
She knows.
Oh.
She has a little light on her console that tells her when I hang up.
Ah.
Also tells her when I give the time check, which is 2:30 in Stony Brook.
New York, eastern coast of the United States of America.
North America.
Yes.
Western Hemisphere.
That's absolutely true.
Planet Earth.
3 stones from the sun.
So they say.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true.
Bum, 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 bum.
Just a moment, please.
Oh, okay, thank you. Oh, she definitely knows I'm still here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what it'd be like to be an international operator.
Where is this one located?
I believe Florida. I'm not certain, though.
Ooh.
I think they told me that once, that they were in Florida.
Hmm.
They must have some pretty interesting calls come through now and then.
Yeah.
Places like Namibia.
I wonder
if
all the If all the circuits are temporarily suspended between the Falklands and the mainland, how would people like Al Haig get back to his boss?
Hey, 1 moment, I can't get on line right now.
Okay. Well, he doesn't talk to the Falkland Islands, he goes to Argentina.
Well, suppose he has to do some kind of... You know, can you imagine, like, Long Island being cut off from the rest of the world?
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that's about the size of it, you know?
I know many people who've been imagining that for quite a while.
Yeah.
And living their lives around that concept.
Successfully?
Well, I suppose.
To them, yeah.
In their view,
yeah.
Well, this is the only programs that I can let people know about that are coming up.
Station so good it sells without a slogan.
Here's one.
We're sorry, your international call.
What about it?
Oh, well. Well, this Sunday night, USB will be presenting a special call-in program. Call in, not call out, focusing on the state of the Long Island music community. This is Sunday night at 10, hosted by Norm Fresslin.
Hello. Yes, this is the United States. I need some information in Southwest Africa. Could you connect me with the correct information operator?
Oh, he's going away. He did it, though.
Sounded like it got a lot closer.
It's an angry ring.
Seems very abrupt.
Yes. Wow. That's a ring with authority.
Who says we step on it?
International.
Yes, this is the United States. I need some information in Southwest Africa.
Hold
it
on, please.
Thank you.
Isn't that the capital that we just heard? Yeah. Let's just ask her.
Let's tell the operator.
Hello, operator?
Yes.
I believe that's the capital we're speaking to.
It is.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, I need information. It's
Namibia.
Namibia.
Yes, what place?
The place is called Oscars. It's a
delicatessen. What?
Oscars. It's a delicatessen.
Is it what place in Namibia?
I beg your pardon?
In Windhoek.
What place in Namibia?
The place is Oscars. It's a like a restaurant.
Is it what town? What town?
Windhoek.
Windhoek. It's in the capital.
It's in the capital.
And what is the name of the place you want in the capital? Oscar.
Yeah, Oscars, yes.
It's just getting good now.
Must have been a rough day over there in Namibia. That kind of angry.
Yeah. Explain to the operator, thank you very much for all her help. They tend to like that very much.
Oh, I always do.
Well, explain to her now while you have a chance. She's just hanging out, probably taking a few puffs on a much-needed cigarette.
Yeah, but the operator over in Namibia might think I'm talking to her.
So? You can thank her, too. Yeah, I don't even think the operator in Namibia is still connected, or she's on hold, or we're on hold from her. Go ahead.
I hear voices. No, I'll do it. I know when to do it. I've dealt with operators all my life.
That's true, since he was 2 years old. Even before.
Are you there?
Oh, that's
yes.
What kind of places do they want, Oscar? Is it a motor?
No, it's a delicatessen, like a...
It's actually... Oh. It's an all-night kosher deli, actually.
All-night kosher deli.
Yeah, I got it out. I feel a lot better now. Yeah.
Now you can tell the operator, thank you.
Stop pushing me.
Oh,
Wouldn't it be something if they found it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get to
it. I mean, it sounds like they think they can find it.
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. If they find it, I know.
Yeah, one moment. All right, thanks.
I know the secret to my life is in an Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
Yeah.
Wherever it is. And I have only to call that place up and say, here I am.
Coming up in about...
What's coming up in my life?
Yeah, I'll give you an idea. Coming up in 22 minutes is Anthony White.
Ooh.
Yeah. Right here on USB.
The voice of Long Island. This took longer than the Falkland Islands.
It did, but that's only because the Falkland Islands were out of order.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
The number is 33997.
And what is that area code?
61.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bye
bye.
But, operator, thank you very much for all your help.
All right, you're welcome, sir.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Mike!
So are we going to call or what?
We found... Wait, I can't believe this. We found an Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli in Namibia?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
In Windhoek.
I can't believe it.
Okay, so now we should call it. Chances are they're not going to be there anyway, right?
Well, how about we go into the amazing adventures of Hollow Man Part 1 first, just so I can get over this. This is... I wasn't expecting that. I really wasn't.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Okay, let's go.
Here they are. Oh, this is going to be so exciting. We're going to love this.
Oh, okay, we don't have time for that, though. Mike Juhas, you're still on the line.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'd kind of like to hear the amazing adventures of Holo Man.
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't really fit in with the format of this show.
Oh.
But that was from 14 years ago, 1982, at a station WUSB in Stony Brook, Long Island. And the one time that you and I actually succeeded in getting a phone number for Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli, a worldwide search back in the days when information was free, you could see the kind of fun you could have, and I guess that was the reason why they started charging for it.
Yeah.
But as it turned out, we did call that particular number later on, and we confused some poor woman over there in Namibia who I don't know why they gave us her number. But it definitely was not Oscar's All Night Kosher Deli.
Yeah, well, chances are she doesn't have that number now, luckily for her.
Not after that call, no.
Right.
No. We're going to try something. We have Bernie S. calling in, so I'm going to try to take his call. Hopefully we won't lose you in the process.
Okay.
Because we want to quiz you on a couple of things.
Okay.
So hang on a second. Let's see if we can conference here. Good evening.
AT&T has a collect call from
Bernie S.
Bernie, yes. Let me explain to you what's going on right now. We have Mike Juhas on the phone with us from Milwaukee. Mike is an area code expert. You can give him any area code. He will tell you where it is. You can ask him any town in the country, I believe, and he will tell you where it is, or the area code. Bernie, you there?
Yes. Is he doing this without aid of a computer?
We assume so. We have to rely kind of on the honor system.
Yeah, it's the honor system.
It is the honor system.
And, hey, I got to tell you, I'm rusty at this, too.
Well, if you're rusty, how come you have an article in the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal?
Well, they thought it was newsworthy.
Oh. Okay, so...
Mike, what's the smallest area code as far as the subscribers?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, honesty is certainly high up on your list, I guess. Fiber Optic is here in the studio with us. And Fiber, I believe you have some quizzing to do.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Well, I'd be willing to wager that the smallest area code according to population is probably 401 Rhode Island.
I would say maybe it's even like Alberta.
Canada?
Alberta in Canada.
Yeah.
403, yes.
Yeah.
The 40 series is kind
of... You know,
402 is what, Kansas or something?
402 is Omaha.
Yeah, see, I know that. 404 is Atlanta, so that goes away.
I would have to say that 401 with Providence would probably be a fairly well-populated area code.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of swamps in Rhode Island.
Yeah.
But they have, you know, Providence and they have Warwick.
Yeah, they certainly do. No one's going to take that away from them. Okay. How about, I'll throw out an area code for you, and I'm going to make it kind of tricky. I'm going to throw you a curveball here. 954.
That's one of the new area codes in Florida. I think it's, like Fort Lauderdale or something.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay, you got that. You got that. How about, 360?
360, yeah. Washington State, the area surrounding Tacoma, Washington. Tacoma and, Seattle.
This is making me happy for some reason. Let's try, 334.
Yeah, that's the southern part of, Alabama.
Someone help me here.
You know, like Montgomery and so forth.
Joker, what do you got? Hang on, your mic's not on. Try now.
Oakton, Virginia.
Oh, gosh. I'm gonna guess the new area code there for that part of Virginia would be 540.
Nope.
804?
Nope.
703.
Yep.
Is that not one that's changed recently?
Nope. It's been there for a while.
Okay, well, you got me.
I win.
You understand how the whole area code theory works, where zero, if it was a middle digit, it was the entire state, and if one was a middle digit, it had shared different area codes?
Sometimes.
Well, no, it was all the time when they first started the area codes.
Oh, is it?
Yes, because New York, for instance, all the area codes had a 1 in the middle of them, and Kansas, for instance, and Virginia had a 0 in the middle of
them. No, that's not true. Kansas is what, 8?
Yes, it is now, but back then, I'll bet it wasn't.
But Kansas does not have any area codes with 0 as the middle digit.
What about 402?
That's Nebraska.
Oh. Oh, that's right. Okay. All right. This is why I am not in the Milwaukee Sentinel, and you are. So I understand Letterman is interested.
He hasn't called yet.
He hasn't called yet. Does he know your area code?
I hope he knows that it's 414. But cool. You see, this person who wrote this story about me, her recent scoop here a couple weeks prior to me was she wrote about the kid who fixes vacuum cleaners, and I believe he ended up on Letterman.
Well, then you're definitely going down the right path.
So, I hope so.
So 414. Now, here's something you may not know that you might want to drop on Letterman when you're on there. That's the fact that they're planning already in the second quarter of the 21st century to expand the number of digits of area codes. And here to explain that better than me is Fiber.
Yeah, they're planning on coming out with new area code, I guess you could call them area code suffixes.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. It was unclear whether they're going to be prefixes or suffixes, but they reserved all the area codes that would potentially have a 9 as the middle digit.
So you will find no area code anywhere, whether proposed or imagined, where the second digit is 9.
Ooh.
Can you confirm that, Mike?
No. Well, I trust Mr. Optic.
You have all the area codes in your head. Check your head and see if you begin with, and they have a 9 as a second digit.
No, that's a coded by head.
Okay. they will be having, I guess, it'll be 13-digit phone numbers. Is that how it's going to work?
Yeah,
13-digit phone numbers. So
yeah, with a mandatory one.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to dial one. So give them an example of what an area code would be like.
Well, it all depends whether they decide to make it a prefix or a suffix. I mean, technically, you could do it either way. My personal opinion, it would probably be easier to make it a suffix, although that wouldn't necessarily have to be the case. Like, for example, if 212 got overpopulated with exchanges, then what's the first one? The first one would be 290, would be the first valid one. So, for example, they could make it 290212 or 212290.
And that's what you have to dial from the rest of the country.
Yeah.
That whole thing?
Plus the seven-digit number, plus the mandatory one at the beginning. Yeah.
Well, people in the second quarter of the 21st century will have expanded dialing capabilities. You know, they'll be brought up differently. I'm sure we'll evolve into having more dialing fingers or something. Who knows? Mike, you're welcome to stay on. I don't know if you're able to stay on for the hour and take phone calls along with us and Bernie S.
I'll try.
Okay. Bernie S., you're still there in federal prison.
Actually, no, I'm in a Pennsylvania county prison.
I'm sorry. I meant to say
it. I've been in four different prisons over the past year.
Yeah, we get confused sometimes. Now, there's been some movement on your case as far as the calculation of the time. You were supposed to have been out on May 30th by our calculations, but that doesn't seem to be the way it's going. They're holding you up for some reason. You want to update us?
Well, my calculations actually showed June 5th or 6th, but still, obviously, I'm here. When one is sentenced, the prison that you're being held in is responsible for calculating the remaining time have to serve. In many cases, a defendant is already in prison when they're sentenced, so they're given credit for the time they've been in prison. In my case, on March 5th of this year, when I was sentenced by Judge Pinella in Northampton County, Pennsylvania, near Allentown. The judge said I would be credited or entitled to credit for time served while I was detained on this charge, but he was not sure if I had served prior time or not. In fact, I had served time last year on this charge. Last year I was charged with in Pennsylvania charged with the possession of equipment that could have been used to commit telecommunications fraud. I was not charged with using any of this equipment, but in any case I was charged with that and held on a detainer, which is a document that Northampton County sent down to Delaware County saying don't let this guy go under any circumstances because we have dibs on him because of a misdemeanor that occurred back in 1993, I think it was. In any case, the state charges were dropped, and I continued to be held for 35 days on this detainer order. And then I went on to, then the charges were dropped, and then the feds picked that up, and I spent 7 months in federal prison, and then I was transferred to Northampton County to face a probation violation charge because my federal conviction was a violation of Northampton County probation. So it's all very complicated, but the bottom line is that the judge said I was entitled to credit for time I'd served on the original detainer, and Northampton County Prison's calculator up there is refusing to go by that judge's order. So now we're going to have to go to the judge directly, and I've been trying to do this for the past 2 months.
How in the world can they refuse to obey the judge's order?
Well, he's just choosing not to follow it. He hasn't, he's admitted that it was miscalculated, but he's refusing to send another document to the state parole board indicating that my minimum release date should actually be June 5th or 6th, not to July 12th, as he incorrectly calculated. I'm certain that I'll win on this, but the unfortunate part about it is by the time this gets processed through the judge's office, it may be a moot point because that may take another month or so. So I'll end up spending several weeks additional in prison for no reason other than the fact that somebody incompetent has miscalculated a sentence and is refusing to correct it.
This is really unbelievable that I don't understand what it is exactly that they're proving by doing this, or if anyone is influencing them or pressuring them to do this. But this has been an outrage from the very beginning over a year ago, and it's still continuing. It's just absolutely incredible.
Yourself, I believe, at my sentencing hearing.
Yeah, I remember hearing it.
I was there, although I was quite ill at the time because of the conditions in that prison. And my attorney was there, and a member of my family, my uncle, was there. And everyone there interpreted what the judge said is the way I interpreted, and including my attorney and yourself and my uncle and everybody else there, except this guy in the prison who's charged with calculating that to remaining time, has just chosen not to ignore this particular exception the judge granted.
Well, Bernie, are there any names you want to give us or phone numbers or anything that could help? I don't want to give things out that might actually hurt, although at this point I can't imagine it being any worse.
Well, we have to make an end run around this fellow anyway by going to the judge, so I don't think there's any harm in giving out his name and telephone number. But if anyone calls, please don't mention the name Bernie S. They won't know who you're talking about. My real name is Ed Cummings. But the person who's responsible for this this problem and who's refusing to correct his admitted mistake, his name is Joe Tamandel, T-A-M-A-N-D-E-L. And he is at the Northampton County Prison, east of Pennsylvania. And I believe I have that telephone number here somewhere. Here we go. Yes, area code 610-559-3228. You want to ask for Joe Tamandel, and anyone calling would say, why haven't you correctly calculated a coming sentence? The judge's sentencing decree said I was entitled for credit for time previously served. He's aware of this. He's admitted his mistake. He's just refusing to correct it and forward on the information to the state parole board. Very frustrating.
And you wonder why people are bitter when they get out of prison. Unbelievable. Well, we're still here for you. We'll continue to keep you in touch with the world and get mail to you and offer you all kinds of support and hopefully visit as well. We have a story we're going to get into in a moment. We're also going to take some phone calls, 212-279-3400. I just wanted Bernie to hear the story that somebody mailed to us from the Staten Island Advance, which I must say is a newspaper I don't think I have ever read in my life. But it has a pretty good article here about prison phones. In what is becoming a familiar pattern across the United States, phone companies regularly overcharge jailed customers. Jerry Friedman was flipping through the newspaper when she spotted an article about a company that overcharged customers for collect calls from prison. And I thought, well, that's interesting, said the Gainesville woman. So I went back and pulled out my phone bills and found I'd been overcharged $30. $30 wasn't the half of it. Investigators found that the company had bilked thousands of others to the tune of $653,000. In what is becoming a familiar pattern across the United States, as I just said, because it's written twice, prison phone companies regularly overcharge customers. Their conduct has spawned at least one class action lawsuit, a federal criminal investigation, and numerous sanctions by state public service commissions, but so far, little public outcry. People say it's just a bunch of prisoners, said Steve Nicholas, an Alabama lawyer involved in the class action suit. But it's not. It's a bunch of prisoners' mothers and fathers and girlfriends who are getting screwed. Prisons, though, are making a bundle. Phone companies are paying them hefty commissions, in many cases more than half the price of the call, in return for access to one of America's more lucrative phone markets, convicts. And because virtually all calls from prison must be made collect, they are very expensive and profitable. A local call that costs 25 cents at the corner payphone, for instance, can cost $1.75 when dialed from prison. Multiply that by the 1.5 million prison and jail inmates, and you get a growing business estimated by AT&T to generate $1 billion a year. How does it feel to be part of such a growing industry, Bernie?
Not good. It's actually...
1.5 million prisoners.
Yeah, I know I'm one of 1.5 million inmates. What's unfortunate is the families of these inmates are being bilked at exorbitant telephone rates to accept calls from their family members and loved ones. The only way to call from prison is collect.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, as this call here was collected, I think people on the air heard that. And I don't know if you've looked at the rates, but they're often two or three times the normal direct dial.
And it's not only that, but AT&T has this wonderful habit of charging us for calls that we don't answer. There's many times that that you call and the answer machine picks up, and we're not there to take it, but that shows up on the bill as an accepted collect call, operator assisted, even though there's no operator. In fact, I heard kind of an interesting plan. Maybe you could verify if this actually works as far as saving some money on those collect calls. If you are able to get AT&T through whatever reason to give you a bigger discount on your calls. For instance, let's say you switch long-distance companies. You go to MCI or something. AT&T knocks on your door and says, why did you leave us? We're going to give you all this money to come back to us, and we'll give you maybe 25, 40% off, whatever. Since you have collect calls coming from AT&T, that will apply to those numbers.
Should.
Yeah, so that's a way of saving money. If you're getting collect calls from a prison, simply get some sort of discount.
Rate.
That's true.
Like Locktel and or zero plus dialing. And,
well,
they don't participate in such discount schemes.
In your prison term, prison tour, whether you've been on MCI, AT&T, and Locktel, I believe, as well as a couple others.
That's right.
So I guess we're learning quite a bit from here. But now this is something you're going to love. This there's an outfit called Cajun Callers, a Louisiana firm. It's run by a local judge. When inmates at the local jail call home, the judge gets a cut of the money. Unbelievable. Now America's big corporations want access to the phones in the big house. AT&T and MCI, for instance, both make money from prison phones. So does billionaire John Kluge, whom Forbes magazine lists as the third richest man in America. Spokesmen for these companies and for the departments of correction they serve say their relationship is mutually beneficial. It lightens the burden on taxpayers while providing inmates with a rehabilitative link to friends and families. I don't know. Somehow it doesn't really seem to be the case, does it?
You know, there was a big series of expose articles a couple of years ago in the prison newspaper coming out of the Angola State Prison in Louisiana. I think the newspaper's newsletter is called The Angolan. And while I was in federal prison last year, somebody mailed me copies of those articles, and it went into a lot of detail about how the particular phone scam worked at that particular prison. Inmates' families are being overcharged for the length of the calls. In other words, if it's a 10-minute call, they'd be charged for, say, 12 minutes. And in many cases, they're, as you found in my calling you, that people were charged for calls which weren't even completed. And that may not sound like a big deal, but we added up thousands of inmates over a year's time. It's a lot of money. I just happened today to see a copy of a prison document. It's an internal document, but I managed to get a look at it. And that indicated that the prison commissions this prison receives from its telephone contractor last year was $177,000.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 500 inmates at this institution. But last year, the prison itself profited $177,000 from inmates' phone calls. Now, that money is coming out of the pockets of the families of inmates who, in many cases, don't have money to burn. So it's unfortunate this happens, but it's basically ripping off a lot of people.
You know, and in addition to that, we have prisons making lots of money from these forced calls, but we also have something known as virtual slave labor in federal prisons. Fiber, you know something about this. What's it called? The Unicor?
Yeah, Unicor. Unicor Federal Prison Industries is something that exists at every federal prison, and they tend to look for long-termers to... I mean, they do get paid. I mean, it's not something that you'd want to get paid for a living on the outside. But it might seem like a lot, considering that the average inmate makes about 12 cents an hour. And basically, the inmate builds supplies for both other federal prisons and the military. And these supplies consist of raw materials like chairs and tables and various furniture, doors and things like that.
Article in a recent issue of the Progressive magazine, either the Progressive or the Nation, one of the two, I think it was the Progressive, that kind of blew the lid off the whole federal Unicor scam, where it's inmates are being, they're being forced to either do work, menial work or the factory work, which earns them a little bit more money, but it's far below minimum wage,
right?
2 cents an hour. Here at this institution, inmates are paid $1.50 to $1.55 per day. We're working 8 to 10 hour days. This prison, not manufacturing anything, just doing menial work. But the Bergen Federal Prison, where I was last year, there was a Unicor factory where they manufactured electronic cable assemblies for the military, like telephone cords wiring harnesses for airplanes, like jet fighters.
Do you think the day is going to come where they're making slave labor material for consumers?
They're trying to get there's legislation proposed now that is trying to lift the restriction on prisoners manufacturing products for sale to consumers. The big problem with that is the unions are against it, obviously, because a manufacturer can get labor at 15 cents an hour. They're going to cut the unions out and have things made at cheaper than they can have made in some third world country. It's interesting, our federal government seems to make a big deal about prison labor in China. They have things in China making goods that are sold in the U.S. market. But our own government is using its own prisoners to manufacture goods, albeit for its own use. But I don't see much of a difference,
right? These are some pretty disturbing trends. And Bernie, I believe you have a story there that indicates an even more disturbing trend, which just started happening, or was, I guess, born last week. What's that that you have?
Well, I think we touched on last week the story of, you mentioned, I think, the week before that, where the Justice Department had mentioned that, or had released a report that they'd estimated that last year there were approximately 250,000 hacker attacks on government computer systems.
Right, two-thirds of which were successful somehow.
Right. They didn't explain exactly where they got this figure, but later it came out that it was just an estimate. They didn't have any factual basis on this. It was just something they estimated.
And then
we had
Senate hearings.
What's that?
We had Senate hearings following that.
Yeah, and now it turns out that there's a... maybe I can read a couple of paragraphs from... Sunday's Philadelphia Inquirer. Do you mind?
Sure, no problem. It's interesting because we were wondering when this story came out with the 250,000 hackers that are somewhere out there doing God knows what. No backing up, no verification, no actual facts presented. We were wondering
why did this story come out? We may now have the answer as to why that story came out.
Leading up to something, and yeah. This is what it's leading up to. The article is, again, this is in the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Sunday edition, and the title is Internet's Loose Wide Mesh Worries Many U.S. Officials. Some fear cyber terrorists, some corporate spies. They want tighter regulation. Others say that's no solution. And here it goes. The nation's capital is gripped by Internet fever. The White House wants a national task force to fight computer terrorism on the Internet. Some senators think the CIA should be used to fight computer crime on U.S. soil. Federal prosecutors are poised to prosecute online obscenity. Report after report is being pumped out about the threats posed to national security by Internet crime. As a result, the Internet may be greatly altered before the year is over. More tightly regulated, more carefully monitored, more expensive. It goes on to say the latest symptom of the Internet obsession is a proposal Wednesday, this is last Wednesday, to alter laws prohibiting domestic operations by U.S. intelligence agencies, notably the National Security Agency and the CIA. And just to break for a second, I don't know how many people are aware of who the National Security Agency is, but they are our nation's electronic surveillance entity. They do the code making, the code breaking, the really high tech stuff, and then they provide that information to the CIA, who then analyzes. They provide it to other agencies also. Their budget is approximately five times the size of the Central Intelligence Agency. There's a very good book written by James Bamford about 15 years ago entitled The Puzzle Palace that explains the workings of the National Security Agency. But it's a huge agency. They're located in Fort Meade, Maryland. The rationale here is that the potential for computer crime and terrorism is so great, and the Internet is so decentralized and international, that police and the FBI must combine forces with spy agencies to successfully analyze the threat and investigate criminal activity.
And this is domestic we're talking about now, NSA and the CIA turning their attention towards U.S. citizens.
Senator Sam Nunn from Georgia said... here saying that if we're going to live in this kind of a world, we're going to have to link the intelligence world with the law enforcement community. And Nunn apparently spoke as the Senate's Permanent Investigation Subcommittee. He spoke as the Senate's Permanent Investigation Subcommittee released a report indicating that major banks and large corporations had lost $800 million last year because of hacker intrusions in their computer systems. Now, that number came from a U.S. security firm that surveyed others about losses, but the firm was not even identified in the report. And as with the similar recent reports, to independently assess the validity of this is pretty difficult. There's just been no proof that this kind of hacking is really going on, at least to this this extent. Since the beginning of the year, every branch of the government has become enmeshed in some potential regulation of the Internet. Again, I'm quoting from the Philadelphia Inquirer. For one, a White House-created interagency group headed by the Justice Department has proposed creation of a national task force or SWAT team to take charge of all U.S. information security.
Barbara, that's not funny. You're laughing. What are you laughing
at? That's all we need, some other spook organization to patrol something or other.
The cyber SWAT.
Yeah, right.
Wow, it's really incredible. It's scary. It's frightening. It's depressing, but something that we're going to be certainly keeping our eyes on. Burnett,
I don't know how many people really realize the significance of this proposal to lift the investigation restrictions off of the CIA and the National Security Agency, basically returning loose the two largest spy agencies on the planet on the American public if this goes through. And the rationale to justify it is really a very undocumented threat about the number of computer hacking attempts that are going on. And this hasn't even been really documented as happening. It's just an estimate. And here we have a proposal to lift the domestic spying regulations off the two biggest spy organizations on the planet.
And this should be page one news in every paper in the country, but of course it isn't because people don't, for some reason, see the significance of this. So I'm glad you're able to share this with us, and I'd like to turn now to some BAI listeners because the show has been so interesting that we've taken up 50 minutes of it so far. Mike Uhas, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay, we still have the area code expert online too, but if you want to talk about any of that, please give us a call 212-279-3400. We'll try to squeeze as many of you in as possible. So let's see what happens, and hopefully I won't lose either of you too because we've never actually done this before where we have two guests on the phone and we're going to the calls. So let's see what happens. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right. Two things I'd like to mention that you spoke of the Secret Service.
Yes.
A couple of months ago.
Turn down your radio. You get very confused.
Yes. Last week you mentioned about the code names for the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
Sinatra got his during the Kennedy administration in the early 60s.
Was it that far back?
Yes, it was. And also it's usually done by committee, although you could guess from the names. And I have a question for Fiber.
Okay.
Sure.
You have a BitSurfer Pro, Fiber?
Yes, I do.
Does it wink out every night at midnight?
You have a very old firmware version.
What it is?
Yeah, what you need to do is go to Motorola's website.
And pull the latest version.
Yeah, the latest. You could find the latest version.
Is it some sort of built-in time test or something where it winks out in the middle of
It's called broken.
You
need to upgrade the firmware.
They're all broken?
No, it's flash loadable. It's a very old bug. It's very old software.
Well, it's quite a bug once a day.
I thought maybe the phone company hadn't quite figured out when I went from analog to ISDN that they were still like, you know, sending 600 volts to fry anything stuck to the phone line.
No, you're running very old code in your unit.
Okay, so go to the website and update it.
www.mot.com.
Yeah, okay.
What, did somebody take Motorola.com?
I think they have both.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Let's move on to another one. Uh-oh, we lost Bernie. How did that happen? I don't know how we lost Bernie. This phone system does not work the way it's supposed to. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we'll have to take Bernie in a second. Good evening. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Ben. I was on the other week.
Uh-huh.
I just got in because I was with my math tutor, and I just heard the end of, like, what Bernie was saying about spy organizations and stuff.
Yes, spy organizations are turning their attention to the United States citizens because of this tremendous hacker threat. This is something, if you watch the Senate hearings, you'll see indications of this beginning. And it's a very frightening prospect.
So it'll be
prospect.
On C-SPAN and stuff, probably?
The Senate hearings are. Let's take Bernie's. Hang on one second while we take Bernie.
Okay, I'll hold on.
Hopefully we won't lose you. Good evening.
Hello?
We lost Bernie somehow. Okay, I don't know why that happened. Okay, continue with what you were saying.
Okay. Can I speak to Fiber?
Hi. Yeah, make it quick.
Hi, Fiber?
Yeah.
The Masters of Deception book?
What about it?
I just think it's really crappy that they, like, incriminated you like that.
Well, I've had far worse happen than that book. I mean, by far, the book wasn't particularly incriminating.
No, I don't mean the book. I mean, like, what happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us have had some raw deals. That's certainly true. Anyway, thanks for the call. We're going to try and take Bernie S. one more time. Good evening. Wait, I don't have him yet. Good evening. Anybody there?
AT&T has a collect call from...
Bernie S. We got cut off.
At the Bucks County Correctional Facility. To refuse this call, hang up. If you accept this call, do not use three-way or call waiting features, or you will be disconnected. To accept this call, dial 1 now. Thank you.
Okay, I don't know why you got cut off. It might have something to do with having two people on the phone at once.
I think when you dropped the first caller who called about the Secret Service, I got dropped.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me give you the opportunity to give out your address, so that in case you get cut off with the next call, there won't be a problem. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Anyone who wants to send me anything to read, it would be very helpful. I'm going out of my mind here out of just frustrating boredom. Cards, letters, magazines, books, you can send them to me, Ed Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S, and it's at Bucks County Prison, that's B as in boy. And the address is 1730 South Easton Road, EASTON, and that's in Doylestown, D-O-Y-L-E-S-T-O-W-N-P-A, 18901. Anything you send, please write on the outside of the envelope, reading materials, otherwise it'll be rejected. So anybody who tries to send me stamps, they'll get rejected as well, too. They're not allowed to send postage stamps, and I have to buy them in here. So thank you to everybody who's been sending me stuff to read and notes. It really keeps me going in here.
Okay, I was gonna take. We're going to take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay, hi. A few things real fast.
Real fast.
First, I got from MCI a letter saying they overcharged me 18 cents, so they gave me a $1.50 check. Number two, what about Bernie getting the ACLU or Amnesty International involved, saying he's a political prisoner? Number three, Emmanuel, I saw you on TV at 3 a.m. the other day. You look like Curtis Sliwa with long hair, nothing like I expected. Also, in terms of prison working and producing stuff, I heard on the Columbia station, they make prison jeans, and the prisoners, like, make a profit. It's like a capitalist thing at West, and it's become a hip, trendy thing. And the last thing, I have a question for the area code guy.
Yeah, go ahead.
The area code for Lake Titicaca.
So where?
No, hey, I mean, you know, I only specialize in the United States.
How about... Wanker County.
Where's Wanker County?
That's a joke. Anyway, take care.
All right. Thanks. Thanks very much for sharing that with us. Yes, Mike. I guess you don't specialize in country codes, do you?
Well, hey, I mean, you know, there's enough going on here as you and everybody here who's listening knows with the U.S. area codes. I can hardly keep up with this stuff.
That's true. Now, Bernie, as far as ACLU and political prisoner status, any comment on that?
Well, other organizations like the EFF, Electronic Freedom Foundation, and EPIC have really taken very little interest in this case, and I can only assume the ACLU and Amnesty International would as well. Generally, Amnesty International doesn't get involved in domestic cases. They generally get involved with international cases.
And you have to be facing death, too.
What's that?
You have to be facing death for them to take
That's
an interest.
That's true. Fortunately, I'm not, although while I was in Northampton County, I wondered if I was going to be facing death because I was pretty sick there. But the ACLU, I have sent them a copy of my federal appellant brief to have them review, and hopefully they'll see that some of the concepts of my appealing this new vague federal statute are very similar similar concepts to those that they used to try to combat the Communications Decency Act recently in the Third Federal Circuit.
Gentlemen, we are out of time. I want to thank you both for being with us throughout the show tonight. Bernie, of course, can be reached also on the Internet, BernieS@2600.com. And, Mike, you have an Internet address if people need to ask you about area codes.
Yeah, sure. It's Mike@neverknow.com, NEVERKNOW.
Which is not the case with you because you always know.
I try. I do my best.
Okay, well, look for you on Letterman or someplace where you'll be giving information out. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay.
And we'll be back again next week with another exciting edition of Off the Hook. Till then, stay knowledgeable and share the information. See you later.